We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Second and 10. Play action fake to him. Foles trying to throw for the end zone. Over the middle. Todd Wilson. Touchdown. Kansas City. Set with the tight ends. Foles steps up from the pocket. Fires it for the end zone. Catch made. Hanging on. Touchdown. Kansas City. Foles throws left. Long. He's got a man wide open. Touchdown. Kansas City. The Colts go to sleep on Tyreek Hill, who jogs into the end zone, and Foles puts it right in the breadbasket of Hill, and the Chiefs have opened up a 23-7 lead.
All right, finally, my producer has been on a wild three-year campaign to get you to come to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's probably your biggest fan, so he's very excited. A week-long celebration. Could you give a shout-out to Jake, who is very excited to have Nick Foles in a Chiefs uniform?
Jake, it means the world to me that you felt that of me, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to meet you in person.
Welcome back to the show. Okay. Jake was in here before Jeff Chedid arrived here at Union Broadcasting. He was at the thermostat. He said it was time to turn the heat up in the studio.
Is that what he said?
Crank the heat up.
Is that what he said?
He came in here and closed the door.
Yes,
he says it's about to get real hot in the studio right now. And I'm just going to tell you this. I'm gonna start things off. I'm gonna present things. I'm gonna take a step back. Nate's gonna take a step back, and I just want Jake and Jeff to have just an open, honest conversation between friends about football. Yeah. I'm gonna give you the facts first. Eagles beat the Vikings 38-7. Nick Foles 26-33 for 352 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. Getting ready to lead the Eagles in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Let's start with Jeff Chedid as I moderate this. Jeff Chedid, your reaction to that performance first.
Oh, I'll start by saying Jake was firing me up last night when he called to make sure I could be on the show at 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
I just want to confirm your
All he wrote was Nick Foles. And the next thing I saw was Nick Foles greater than Alex Smith. And then I told him I'm saving my best material for this hour, and he just kept prodding. I finally had to like just throw a few things at him to calm down.
Did
put him
work?
Back on ice. Oh, he calmed down.
Did he?
I put him. He calmed down. But I
mean, then we started sending gifts back and forth.
Gifts.
Yeah. But I'll say this. And look, first of all, the guy played out of his mind. He played a phenomenal football game. There's no question about it. I think that's the best game he's ever played. Probably one of the best performances you'll see on that stage. He was pretty much flawless. So does that mean I think he's a better quarterback than Alex Smith? No. Does that mean I think he is the reason the Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl? No. I think that they've got a great team. I think that he is a really good backup quarterback. I think that he benefited from a really good coaching job by Doug Peterson, who, for whatever reason, doesn't get enough credit in all this. I mean, we talk about Carson Wentz.
That's
and
right.
What Nick Foles has been doing. This guy has been coaching with a lot of players injured, coaching with his star quarterback gone, and
lost
they still keep rolling.
Star left tackle.
Left tackle.
Yeah. I mean, up
linebacker,
and down the
cornerback. It's just like no one ever talks about the job he's done. And
stayed aggressive. And didn't sit back with a lead in the second half.
Yeah.
Never gave the Vikings even a chance to come back.
Yeah. To call the game that he called with a backup quarterback who was being booed by his own fans 2 weeks earlier or a week earlier for the first half of the game, that took a lot of courage. And so while I applaud Nick Foles for the way he played and for the Eagles being in the championship, being in the Super Bowl, winning the NFC championship, I think it's a total team effort. And that's not to take anything away from Nick Foles. I just know where he's going with it because the second text I got was 2013. The man went back to 2013 to make a case for why Nick Foles was better than Alex. Weren't the Backstreet Boys still together in 2013?
I was just throwing out the guy's better than the backup.
In the words of Smokey from Friday, why are you bringing up old stuff?
Now, That's Jeff Chedid's opening statements. Jake Pounders, your opening statement for this hour of radio to Jeff Chedid.
Look, what I saw in an NFC championship game which is the biggest stage you can be on, was Jeff said it himself. He played an amazing game, close to perfect, you know? So the guy is capable of that, right? And obviously, it's a team game. The defense played outstanding. The defense has been solid all year. It's been a top five defense. But the guy is better than a backup quarterback in this league. He was my point was he was a Pro Bowler in 2013. You know, he had a full season to play under a competent offensive mind, and he succeeded. He was successful. I think, as we saw in the NFC Championship game, the guy is capable of winning games. The guy has helped his team get to the Super Bowl. You know, and he won two of the three last games of the year, you know, to secure that number one seed, to make sure the Eagles had home field advantage. Granted, two of those games he didn't play very well. The Giants game, he played pretty good. So, yeah, I think he will be a starting quarterback next year if he isn't with the Eagles. If the Eagles decide to turn him and flip him for some picks in a market that is pretty thin in terms of quarterbacks, look at the value that you're going to get with Nick Foles opposed to what the value you're going to get with an Alex Smith. The price, the cost of each quarterback allows you to do more within your team structure to put better players around them, to put a better team on the other side of the ball with them. And the way I look at it, if the Chiefs would have walked away from Alex Smith last year, saved $17 million, added a piece or two on the defensive side, and let Mahomes and Foles battle it out. This is all hypothetical. This didn't happen, obviously. But what would have happened? How much different would this year have been? How much different would next year be? You know, that was an option. That was a legitimate option for this team that flamed out, that blew an 18-point lead in the AFC wild card. How different of this season would have been? Because in my eyes, it was kind of a wash. This year was a wash. Sure, AFC West back-to-back. That's great. That's really great. But this fan base wants results in the playoffs. It's craving it. It is craving wins in the playoffs. So that's what, for me, as a Chiefs fan, I try to separate it. As a Chiefs fan, I just want to get to the playoffs and win the games. I just want a chance, not even to get, you know, to get to the Super Bowl, a chance. Just get to the championship game of your conference. So there are my thoughts.
All right, let's before we go further with this, let's establish like some ground rules here.
Okay.
Let's make sure we have the facts of the discussion on the table, because I recall this wasn't a conversation about can Nick Foles be a starting quarterback in the NFL. The conversation was,
you called him a nice backup.
Is Alex Smith a worse quarterback or a better quarterback than, who's the better quarterback, Alex Smith or Nick Foles? That was where the conversation.
Sure.
Because if I remember correctly, it was a list of quarterbacks we rattled off, and he said, Nick Foles is better than Alex Smith.
And I still believe it.
He wanted Nick Foles.
Okay. So that's where we're starting. Alex that's Smith. Where we're going to start the conversation.
And the reason I said that he's a starting quarterback in this league is because you called him, he's a very nice backup. And he's more than a very nice backup.
He's a very nice backup.
No,
we will start there, because you're going to now make your case for him being better than Alex Smith.
Yes.
Did the rest of the league sleep on Nick Foles? Before we even get to that Alex Smith versus Nick Foles thing, he didn't get a starting job when he went and signed after the Chiefs. He signed as a backup with the Eagles. Did the rest of the league sleep on him? Did they not realize, did they miss something? Was he undervalued?
I don't think you sleep on a player who started 40 or 45 games in his career. I mean, he's had chances to be a full-fledged starter. And what I point to, I like Nick Foles. What I don't want this to turn into is a I hate Nick Foles, I love Alex Smith conversation. I think I love his story. I think he plays well. I think he's made the most of his opportunities when he was here as a backup. He played well. But I do think he's gotten on the Josh McCown track in his career, which is what happens to quarterbacks. You're not perceived as being a franchise-level quarterback, but you can be a competent starter. You know, if there's – first, I'll start with this. Consider this. Andy Reid drafted Nick Foles, right? Chip Kelly coached Nick Foles during the best year of his career. He had a year in Los Angeles before they ever decided they wanted to draft Jared Goff. They traded for him. Traded Sam Bradford to get him. And then he was here with Andy Reid again. So he's been with three coaches throughout his career, at the height of his career, when he came into the league, when he had the most promise, when he was playing with a team that needed a quarterback. Not one of those three coaches have said, he's got to be my starting quarterback. He's had ample opportunity to be named the starter.
Can we be fair and strike anything that Jeff Fisher
right,
has
I'm not interested in his opinion in anything.
But why does Jeff Fisher, why does how the guy's coach become a factor when it's not a factor with Alex Smith? Why is it that Alex Smith is conservative and checking down when Andy Reid's calling conservative game plans, but it's not like when the game plan gets opened up, he didn't get credit for that?
Well, I give him credit for how he played under Harbaugh and under Andy Reid.
But can we at least agree that the first 3 years he was here, they were playing more conservatively because they didn't have a lot of weapons?
Well, we don't know that answer. Was he playing?
I think we do know that answer.
We don't. Here. Is he playing conservative because the game plan was conservative, or because he's a conservative quarterback?
And so, like, I'll say this: like, so the days after the playoff loss to Tennessee, everyone complained about Andy Reid. Play calling got conservative. Play calling got conservative. And then, as I pointed out, Seth Kizer, who does a terrific job of breaking down the plays on the All 22 and writing, he wrote about every single play, offensive play in the second half, and he strongly suggested, look. Play calling wasn't the problem. There were plays to be made. A couple of times, Alex Smith didn't keep his eyes downfield. Felt a rush. wasn't there. Didn't stay in the pocket. And I complained about play calling. And then I admitted I was wrong after watching that and analyzing what happened in the second half. It wasn't so much play calling. It looked like they got conservative, but they really didn't. And it wasn't just Alex Smith. It was other mistakes. The offensive line. Oh. Kareem Hunt had a bad play where he missed a read on a wide-open hole that he could have had for big yardage. Orson Charles, of course. Different things like that. So
Tyreek Hill dropped a pass
right.
or two.
My point is sometimes we think immediately the knee-jerk reaction, oh, the play calling was terrible. Then you analyze, well, the play calling wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
I will say the most underrated part of the way Nick Foles played on Sunday was, I don't know if it was your show or somebody was talking about it. Keatsman was talking about somebody who was on your show, but Doug Peterson went back, looked at the 27-2 season he had in 2013 and found all the plays that he succeeded with and put those in the game plan over the last two or whatever month or so he's been the quarterback. That's what good coaches do. They find a way to play to your strengths. I will sit here and say that as much as we talk about Al Smith and what he doesn't see, what he doesn't do on the field, the same case can be made for Nick Foles because he has enough body of work to show that he has enough flaws that, yeah, can he be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Certainly. But he hasn't done it consistently enough. He hasn't had enough games like he had on Sunday or even close to those kind of games for people to say, I trust this guy to be my starting quarterback.
I think it's so hard to judge because of that black hole in the middle from going from Philadelphia to St. Louis.
He was there for a year.
Two years. But, I mean, he's only been in the league, what, 6 years? So, I mean, that's a pretty significant black hole. And he came to Kansas City. He was a backup, but he won games for the Chiefs. He helped win that end of that Colts game. He helped win the Jaguars game. That, you know, put the Chiefs in a nice spot to host a divisional round of the AFC. And they lost because they couldn't score a touchdown. And they couldn't stop Le'Veon Bell. There's lots of reasons. And yeah. to go back to that is the dialogue was almost identical after that Pittsburgh. Look at the passes that Alex Smith didn't see, the chances that he didn't take. You know, and I think they're very similar quarterbacks. I think Alex Smith is not. You can make an argument like you
yeah,
and I can
I
have
think,
an.
I think they're different quarterbacks. Different styles. I think they're different styles of quarterbacks.
Okay, I'll agree with you. They are completely different styles, but in terms of where they fall in line with their rankings of the league, they're in the same tier. They're in the same tier of quarterbacks.
How can you say that when one's a backup and one's a starter? What you're saying is Alex Smith is even worst case scenario throughout this year, you know, when he was whatever top 10 passer or whatever, and say he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, which is fair.
Where they are in their careers
you're
now.
You're saying that Nick Foles is jumping over every other middling starter to lousy starter in the league, to he should be right there compared with Alex Smith, middle-of-the-road quarterback.
I think, yes, I do.
Then why isn't he starting? There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Because
why
he got sent to a black hole. Because he got sent to...
But he's not in the black hole now.
Right, and let's see what happens from here.
Well, and I guess that's part of the question, isn't it, Jeff? I mean, because you listed off the coaches that thought that he's a backup. But when he got back, so yeah, things went bad with Chip Kelly. in Philadelphia, but things went bad for Chip Kelly in general in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Then he goes to L.A., and Fisher looks to have bungled three different quarterbacks. I mean, he had three quarterbacks in L.A., and he screwed all three of them up. And then Foles comes to Kansas City, and we can't really say that was a fair competition, was it, right? I mean, he was brought here specifically to be a backup for a guy who they gave up 2 second-round picks for and built their offense around in Alex Smith. I mean, it wasn't like that was an open competition, was it, between Smith and Foles?
Well, it was never meant to be that. I mean, they had just signed him.
But does that make him right? I mean, sometimes we've seen quarterbacks start over other quarterbacks, and then history goes on to prove to us that...
I mean, here we're talking about Andy Reid refusing to replace Bob Sutton, so we can't quite use his word as gospel about football decisions right now.
Well, all I'm saying is they had signed Alex Smith to a 4-year extension 2 years before that. There's no way you're going to, or a year before that, there's no way you're going to do that and then open up your quarterback position to a competition.
I'm not saying they were wrong, but I'm saying for us to then judge Nick Foles and say, well, he's just a backup because, look, Andy Reid didn't think he was a starter. Well, it wasn't exactly like he just brought him in and had an open competition.
What I'm saying is the guy played great, but to say take that game and to discount everything else he's done before that point doesn't make sense to me. I would even go back to the first two games he played this year when he was awful. You know, it's not like you can sit here, go, even with Jeff Fisher coaching him, you can't account for the fact that he has some accountability in this.
Sure.
He threw 7 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions for the Rams. That's not Jeff Fisher's fault. Now, you can say he didn't have better players around him, and you can say that he didn't have the best offensive scheme to work with. But he still was the guy making the decisions. And that's always been Nick Foles' downfall or his biggest flaw is that people think he's not a great decision maker. Even in that game on Sunday, the touchdown he threw when he was in the pocket and he got pressure and he was running around and he threw the ball down to Jeffrey, that's not a great decision. It worked out well for him, but a lot of bad things can happen in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, but
I'm just saying,
it didn't.
He got,
but Alex Smith.
And even you can go back, you can look online. Look it up. I think when he was with the Rams, somebody with the Rams wrote a story about Nick Foles in that 2013 season when he threw 27 touchdown passes and 10 picks, or 2 picks. And they said it was a great year, but looking at the film, as you're talking about with Alex Smith, they said he was the luckiest quarterback in the NFL that year because he threw so many passes that should have been intercepted that were not intercepted, and that over time, over the course of his career, that decision making began to affect his performance.
I think also the frustration is we see him rising to the occasion and playing above his head in the NFC Championship game, and Alex Smith the last 2 years at home in the playoffs has not risen to the occasion.
Alex Smith has had games like that. Alex Smith's first playoff game here gets the Colts to a game like that. The difference is that his defense, Nick Foles' defense, actually prevented them from coming back. That's what nobody talks about. They only scored 7 points. He wasn't in a position to have to go back down the field and lead them to a touchdown to win the game because he did his job and the defense held.
Right, a defense that is allowed to put better talent on it because he only cost $7 million.
Well, I would say the talent that they had when Alex Smith played his first playoff game here was pretty good.
On the defensive side?
When Justin Houston, Tom Bahali was still in
his prime. That secondary sucked.
Eric Berry.
Quentin Dimps was on the back end of that defense. That defense was, strengthening Alex Smith's case.
I think
that defense was not good.
I think it's the best defense they had under Bob Sutton, wasn't it?
Last year probably was statistically.
Either way, is that Alex Smith's fault?
Well, you could make an argument that
maybe.
If you're up, 28 points, that's his fault.
Maybe Tom Brady takes less money so his team can be better. He could have taken less money.
Alex Smith's first year here. I don't even know what kind of money he was making then. I think he was on like a pretty cheap deal.
Well, now though. I'm talking about the last two to three seasons.
Right. Like okay, so the loss against the Colts, that was on the defense, and it was terrible.
Yeah, secondary was Swiss cheese.
Right. The loss against Pittsburgh, the defense couldn't stop Le'Veon Bell, but they didn't give up a touchdown, and the offense just disappeared for 2 quarters. Just disappeared. And the offense disappeared for the entire second half. But the defense, you know, let them come back, but still, I mean, even if they get a field goal in the second half. So it's been enough of the defense and the offense in the postseason, the failures. Now, if we're going to talk numbers, I think it's fair to say with the Chiefs in a game and a half, 65.5 completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, no picks, threw for 410 yards and had a quarterback rating of 105. So without if you take away the Rams numbers, he's got 51 touchdowns and 19 interceptions and 61.1 completion percentage with the Rams, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a 56% completion percentage. So he's been better.
Yeah.
With you know, the Rams were – that was a train wreck. It looked like Goff was going to be a bust. Case Keenum wasn't as good. I mean, all three of those guys look better without Jeff Fisher.
Let's do it this way. How many people in this room think Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Alex Smith? Do you?
I think that they're close enough to where the difference in salary, I would, like right now, if I'm an NFL team looking to for a quarterback next year, I'm more willing to give up a draft pick for Nick Foles and what he makes versus hanging $17 million around my neck with Alex Smith.
Okay, that's all fair. But I'm just saying.
But I mean, just in terms of
overall accomplishments, the way their careers have played out.
I think Smith has been the better quarterback.
Okay.
Well, he's got a longer sample size, too.
Yep. I think Smith's been a better quarterback, yeah.
No. I mean, I would have no problem saying Russell Wilson's a better quarterback than Alex Smith without the sample size. He hadn't played as long, but I can sit here and say he's a better quarterback.
Right.
Well, yeah, because he's won the Super Bowl.
Okay, well then I would probably say
he's
Dak Prescott's
better.
A better.
Yeah, that doesn't make right. him ipso facto better just because he won a Super Bowl. But when you add the other stuff to it,
so where do you stand?
I would say Alex Smith. I don't think it's the separation that I thought it was. I'm willing to reconsider because I was in your camp. I mocked Jake. Like when Jake was calling, honest to God, when Jake, and I'll be honest.
He mugged him a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. I showed him my rear end, man.
Brown eyed me.
What?
But I don't want to be one of those people that refuses to like come off an opinion when I see things change. You know, change. My attitude was this: when Jake and Gary would call for Nick Foles, I rolled my eyes because to me it was the classic backup quarterback syndrome. It was the classic. We're frustrated with the weaknesses we see from this guy. So whoever the backup is, we're going to like him more. This guy couldn't even beat up Case Keenum, you know. And this guy's he's been proven to be a backup. I'm willing to reconsider that a little bit because he did. That was the other thing you got to remember about this. Look, sometimes it's matchups and it's one game. That was the number one rated defense in the NFL, and he kicked their ass.
Yeah.
And he did do things on the field that Alex Smith can't and won't do. Like that pass, now Terrence Newman bit on a fake and it was a wide open pass, but that pass where Nick Foles stood in the pocket with pressure all around him and then threw the touchdown pass, we'll never see Alex Smith do that.
Yeah.
Because and part of it, and I don't blame Alex Smith for that because he knows he can't get it there. If he can't step into a throw, he can't throw it that far, and he knows it. So that's smart of him not to do it, but he can't do it. And there is part of me that goes, man, I wonder when you get to a game like the NFC Championship game, do you need a guy that can physically do some things that Alex Smith just can't physically do? And if he doesn't have a great defense, he can't get there. That's a longer answer than you wanted. I'm sorry. But I'm trying to come clean on where I was with Jake and Gary.
Keep going, man.
And
you're going with Smith.
Yeah, the short answer is I'm taking Smith, but not by a lot, and I don't feel as confident in it as I did before.
Oh, I'm not sitting here saying it's like he's like Tom Brady level and Nick Foles is down here with Casey Prenters of the world. You know, I'm not going there with it. I am willing to say now,
like I think their careers, you're asking who's been better. I think Alex Smith, but if you ask me who would I want in a big playoff game.
If you're drafting quarterbacks tomorrow.
No, just in one game. Who would I rather have? Well, I'll take Nick Foles.
Yeah, but he's only played in one big game.
And I'll take Casey Prenters.
If you can get three plays, three yards every play, you know, you're going to put yourself in third and one.
No.
And that's a favorable position for the offense.
No. Incorrect. It's not.
I think Nick Foles understands basic math. So it gives him a leg up on Casey Prenters.
He's 2-1 in the playoffs.
Nick Foles?
Nick Foles, now. He had one playoff game before. Yeah. It was first run with the Eagles.
Oh, that's right, with the Eagles. That's right. Well, I want Jake to make the case for why Nick Foles. Back then, it was more like statistically driven. It was 27-2 versus Alex Smith's conservative numbers. Like, make the case now for why you think Nick Foles is better.
Right now, he's better because he's 29 years old. He's better because he has more potential moving forward at this point in time, which take a year out. I guess the biggest problem I have in this whole situation is they could have walked away from Alex Smith last year, and they could have given their first-round draft pick a chance to compete for a position against Nick Foles and opened up all that cap money and improved that defense now. And then think of the money they'd have going into this offseason.
But why would they have done that?
Because of the cap number. Because you look at the defense and say, this team couldn't stop Le'Veon Bell if it life's dependent on it. We got to get some more bulk on that defensive line, and we got to get some better linebackers.
They're not doing that now. They're not taking that stance now.
But that's the problem.
Do you think they're going to? They have a chance to do it again. Do you think they're
Should they trade Alex Smith, is what you're asking me?
Do you think they're going to? Of course they should. That's not even a debate anymore.
I think the only way that he would not be traded is if they don't get some kind of value back. Which I don't think that would happen because the quarterback market, as Jake said, is really thin. There's a lot of teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks. There aren't a lot of really talented quarterbacks. Outside of Kirk Cousins, Alex, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, you start really
Bradford, Bridgewater.
Yeah, you start getting into players that you just don't know what you're going to get.
But isn't there value in the ability to go with the young quarterback in his first contract and take that money that you can't spend on much, we all agree, they need so much on the defense, but isn't there a value to freeing up that money and spending it?
I've never disputed that. Right. I'm totally in the camp
of
trade
them,
Alex Smith.
Isn't there a value? Don't they see that? Isn't that the value?
They see it. I mean, they see it. I mean, they have to look at all these different scenarios, and then they have to get the trade they want to get.
They traded up to draft Patrick Mahomes for a reason.
But how many?
This was the plan. Yeah.
Think about how many free agents? Because we always are told that's not the way in the NFL. How many big-time free agent signings made a huge impact defensively that we saw in the playoffs?
I always see that. Yeah.
But Calais Campbell, they could have helped him. A.J. Bouye, who made the big play against Jacksonville for New England?
Stephon Gilmore.
Right? Gilmore.
Cornerback. Yeah.
I mean, there's...
I'm totally in that camp. I'm not sitting here saying that they would be silly to not trade Alex Smith if they have a chance to recoup a draft pick and free up salary cap space. I think the bigger question to ask in all of this, and it's probably going to be answered this offseason, that Jake said, well, if you could have gotten rid of Alex Smith and gone with Nick Foles ain't coming in here and playing for like $25,000 a year.
But he might play for seven and a half.
You're going to end up paying him probably more than he deserves to be paid.
He only got paid $11 million for 2 years in Philadelphia. That's what his contract is right now.
As a backup. Let me ask you this. Kirk Cousins got paid, what, $25 million this year? Much as we can play about Alex Smith, what he's getting paid, Kirk Cousins got paid $25 million
this year, and the Redskins are stupid, the year before. That's the Redskins' fault because they're stupid.
All I'm saying is a lot of quarterbacks in this league get overpaid. That's just
all of them do. All of them get overpaid.
And so the idea that Nick Foles, you like Nick Foles now because he had a good game in the championship game, and he's cheap.
No, I like him all along.
Wherever he goes next.
I liked him in Philadelphia.
I did like him. But I mean,
at what number do you not like him?
What do you mean at what number?
Salary wise.
I think a nice round number for him legitimately is somewhere between $10 and $12 million.
I think you're overpaying for him there.
So, I mean,
And I don't think he's playing. He's going to pay for it.
But this is the whole attraction about when you talk about the models there, the blueprints there, of building around a quarterback in their first contract that you've drafted. Mm-hmm. That's where the cost control comes in, right?
Yeah.
And that's why. So they've gone through 1 year of that. That's why you don't want to waste another year of being able to put that talent around a quarterback that is reasonably priced.
Yeah, right? I keep saying it. I agree with it. And I hear what Jake is saying, too. I just think they came into this past year, whenever Foles was here, thinking, we've got a quarterback we like. We have some holes probably on defense that we can deal with because we have Eric Berry and Marcus Peters and Justin Houston gets healthy. You know, a lot of what-ifs are probably being played then. And so I don't fault them for saying, we've already got our quarterback. Why are we going to open up the quarterback position to a competition? So
because you just spent money to draft a guy. You spent picks to draft a guy.
Do you think, because we all agree that we all share the opinion that the Chiefs should move on from Bob Sutton, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they're going to do that. And so just because we all agree that the Chiefs, for the better of the team, should move on from Alex Smith, do you think there's a chance that they don't agree with that?
There is that chance. Look, I get whoever it is, if it's Keatsman. I think Trent Green was talking about it. The theory of keep him, you have a good quarterback, let Mahomes sit. I get that thinking, which is the thinking of you don't have to worry about the position. You know what you have, bird in the hand. I get it. Jake's over here shaking his head. I don't agree with it. I'm just saying I get it.
I know, but it makes zero sense to me at that number.
Yeah.
Unless he is willing to take less money, it makes no sense to pay him. That's having a fear of the unknown.
But yep. you can't. If you were willing to invest
right
what you invested in Patrick Mahomes, then you got to be willing to have the balls to play him and move forward.
Mark Mangino had a great quote about this for me that I'd like to give you after the break. How about that?
All right. We've got Jeff
Gotta Judea pay the bills.
In studio right now. Everything's going very well, we think. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jeff Chidea from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff, before Jake takes the show back over, what can we see from you or read from you leading up to the Super Bowl? What's your work schedule for NFL Network and NFL.com?
I'm getting ready to head to Philadelphia this week to do a whole bunch of interviews. So we'll talk to Doug Peterson and Jeffrey Lurie and Nick Foles.
And Nick Foles autograph for man over here.
Islam, I mean, Malcolm Jenkins.
Can't you just mention Jake to him? Just say, hey, this guy. I will.
I'm going to take a photo of him.
He'll remember I talked to him. He was legitimately happy to hear someone was so excited for him to sign with the Chiefs.
And you finally, my producer has been on a wild 3-year campaign to get you to come to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's probably your biggest fan, so he's very excited. A week-long celebration. Could you give a shout-out to Jake, who is very excited to have Nick Foles in a Chiefs uniform?
Jake, it means the world to me that you felt that of me, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to meet you in person.
Means the world.
Did they ever meet?
No, that's right. All right. One of the more uncomfortable group interviews ever to be conducted.
Jake, what's happening in your pants right now? What's going on?
Is that a microphone?
Please talk into the microphone.
Yeah, the old up talk.
Yeah, a little louder.
The old...
You know who was a fan Nick Foles before even Jake was?
I remember it. I mean, that's...
Stop Gary Barnett. Gary Barnett. We're talking about the microphone. Oh,
yeah. When he was coming out in the draft, he said, I like that kid. If you can get him in the second or third round, he loved him.
And I worked with some guys on my CBS crew that did work for ESPN in college games. And so I hear, like, I don't watch a lot of college football, but when there are guys that impress other stat guys and scouts.
I'll listen.
You'll
open your ears.
I was all over Cousins when he came out. I was all over Foles when he came out. I mean, those are two guys that I was behind when they were all over them and behind them.
I am interested in hearing you talk to Nick Foles. Now, is it going to be on NFL Network? Are you writing about it?
We do a whole bunch of interviews and do a whole bunch of like stories to lead in the Super Bowl week. So some stuff will run during the week. A lot will run on the actual game day. So I imagine Foles, Peterson, and probably Malcolm Jenkins would probably be three of the guys that we feature the most prominently.
Okay, so you made this point earlier, and I think it's a very good one. It just feels like not enough credit is being given to Doug Peterson. I mean, not only just getting the Super Bowl, but how many times are they written off injury after injury? I thought that the Jason Peters injury was going to finish him. Like, okay, you lost your stud left tackle. That's too much to overcome. And then when they lost Carson Wentz, it's like, well, there's no way. There's just no way. And just one, because I feel like that's what we've been conditioned to think in Kansas City. Well, hey, if you lose your tight end to a concussion in the playoff game, well, then you can't score anymore. It's over. Or, if, you know, you lose Eric Berry, then we're going to continue to point to that the entire season long anytime the defense fails. Philadelphia, could they have lost more players, more impact players? No. And he's got them in the Super Bowl. What did we miss here? Because I don't think anyone was raving about this hire. Mm-mm. When Philadelphia hired Doug Peterson, and I don't feel like anyone in Kansas City was bought. We lost a good one. I was hoping Peterson would take over for Andy Reid. I don't think anyone was saying this. So what did we miss here?
You know, what I will say is, and I've seen this in a lot of Andy's former assistants when they become head coaches, a lot of them have personalities where they can handle adversity pretty well. You know, whether it's Ron Rivera in Carolina, what he dealt with down there, fire in his house, Cam Newton stuff, you know, all kinds of turmoil, to John Harbaugh in Baltimore, to what the guy went through in Buffalo, Sean McDermott. And Doug has a lot of that, too. You guys have known him, talked to him, and seen him before. I've seen him quite a bit over the last couple of years since he's been a head coach. And what's really impressed me is that he's remained the same guy. Like, some coaches become head coaches, they start walking around, like, puffing their chests out. They got all the answers. They become more guarded. And he's still the same affable, easygoing, you know, take it as it comes type of coach that, and I think that rubs off on his team. And I do believe, and I've said this before about Andy and his play calling, and a former offensive lineman calling plays versus a former quarterback calling plays. I do believe there's a difference in what Doug Peterson sees versus what Andy Reid sees. And I think offensive linemen are more geared to thinking of things as a unit. Like, everybody has value. And I think Andy coaches that way. Like, I want to get Demetrius Harris involved, and I want to get Albert Wilson involved, and I want to get Sharkhandrick West a touch. Doug Peterson, with the quarterback position especially, I think is more concerned with how can I make my quarterback comfortable, which goes back to, let me go back to that 2013 season and find the plays that worked for Nick Foles. Let me do some things with Carson Wentz. Let me get him a good running game. Let me get him some bigger receivers. Let me do some things that make him comfortable. And I think that expands to the whole team. Because he makes guys feel like no matter what's happening, you're going to be in a good position to win the game. And maybe we didn't see that because Andy was so dominant here and we couldn't see what Peterson was doing behind the scenes. And he didn't have that John Gruden-type electric personality and making quips and being charismatic. But it works for him. I think he's very real. And that, when you're a head coach, can go a long way.
We've got Jeff Chedia in studio. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com, getting ready to head to Philadelphia to interview Doug Peterson and Nick Foles and everyone else involved in the Super Bowl. Nate Bucati has a special message.
I just thought you would enjoy the image of a young, fresh-faced Nate Bucati, probably about 15, 20 years ago, in Mark Mangino's office, and Mark Mangino giving me a bit of career advice that has always stuck with me, and it makes me think of this predicament that you're talking about with the Chiefs, where do they go the safe route and keep Alex Smith around because they know what they've got, or do they make that leap of faith and go with the young quarterback? So Coach Mangino said to me, well, Nate, that wasn't what he said. That wasn't what he said. He said, Nate,
you know what this is all about, don't you? Nate. Dollar signs. That's right, dollar signs.
He was giving me career advice. He said, Nate, you know, I've always found that it's really tough to steal second base if you're keeping one foot on first. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly like the Chiefs situation right here. You get up, stay at first base. I'm safe here.
Okay, you know, well, good night.
Stay with the safe thing, but you can't steal second if you're trying to play it safe.
Do you think he ever did steal second?
Mangino? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but yeah. Wow. Heck of an athlete back in the day. Yes. What do you think? So the Chiefs got, you know. Mm-hmm. That, don't you think that's kind of what they got to do right now? They got to
steal second.
They got to walk away from the safety of first base.
How do you get to home?
They got to walk away from the cost of first base. Yeah. The price of standing on first is just too high.
Yeah, how do you score? That's good. How do you get round third?
I'll tell you at 10 o'clock.
So you can, you obviously can change your prediction as we get closer, but initial feelings of Philadelphia's chances against New England?
I like their chances in the same way I like Jacksonville last week. That's why I picked Jacksonville, because they play good defense. They've got a good pass rush. Look, if Nick Foles plays the way he played on Sunday night, they'll win. Because people look at the Patriots and they think that they just dominate everybody. They play a lot of close games, and they give you a lot of opportunities to win.
I can tell you what, if Nick Foles plays like that again, Jake will be doing push-ups with no hands.
Oh, Jake will be living in the field.
Hey. Oh. I might be.
Spinning around.
Well, wherever he gets traded to.
Talk about one of those spinners, fidget spinners. He'll be a human fidget spinner. Just twist him.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with any of that.
Go on for Dave. Can't stop.
Yeah.
Jake the human fidget.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bone broth.
Coronal mass ejection. Do you want me to pick right
now? I just like,
it was a coronal mass ejection.
You go talk to Philly.
Who you got in the Pro Bowl?
What's your gut tell you right now?
Right, my gut tells me right now New England, just because they've been there so much. But I want to see how that goes over the next – how I feel over the next week or so when we meet again and talk. And look, Philadelphia is a really good team, and they have everything you need to win a Super Bowl right now.
Do you think if it comes down to a final drive that Nick Foles will vomit on the field during that drive like Donovan McNabb did?
I don't think so.
Okay, you know, it's a possibility.
I don't think so. I don't know if he's throwing up, but –
right.
Look, they beat a very good Vikings team. I thought that team was good enough to beat them and go on and host the Super Bowl. You win 38-7 in the championship game, you got something going right for yourself. So,
yeah, right now, I'll go Patriots,
but we'll see how I feel.
You going to Philly tomorrow?
Tomorrow or Thursday. Hadn't been decided
yet.
Hey,
don't punch any horses, man.
Please.
I'm not. You see some of those videos of the Philly fans? There were some shocked people. Riot police out there.
Be careful on that subway, too, man.
Mm.
Why are you skirting the real question? Is AFC going to win their fourth straight game?
I haven't watched a Pro Bowl in 10 years.
And I'm right with you.
When is that game?
Yeah, when is it?
It's this weekend, I think. It's like in Orlando or something.
I'll tell you exactly what the Super
January,
what the Pro Bowl means.
28.
Did you see what quarterback was just selected in the AFC?
Derek Carr. That's how low they had to go. Next thing you know, Nick Foles will be in the game.
That was Jake's MVP preseason.
But yes. I mean, just picking. I mean, look.
Bad pick. Bad pick. I'm not escaping that one.
He's no Nick Foles.
No, he's not.
Who is, really? Thank you, Jeff Jadia.
Thank you, guys. And fly, Eagles, fly.
That's
fly,
right.
Nick Foles, fly.
You would not want to be around me if they win the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Super Bowl winning quarterback Nick Foles. God, that just rolls off the tongue.
Joining the Trent Dilfers and Mark Rippins of the world.
Easy. If we evaluated Alex Smith on just his first six seasons in the league.
I thought
we were done with this.
Point.
I'm just saying.
It's a valid point. That's why I respect Alex Smith. That's why I give Nick Foles hope.
Right? He's got a lot of hope.
A lot of hope.
Up next is the program with Jake Gutierrez on 1410 WHB.